I forgot to get ready. I was listening. Thank you, Tony. I couldn't help but picture your grandma. She'd have been sitting right there smiling. So that's very good. Memorial Day. I tried to dig up a few facts about Memorial Day. And I would remind you that Memorial Day was actually founded not to remember all the dead, but to remember the soldiers who died in defending this country. And as we stop and think of Memorial Day, I mentioned during Sunday school that it actually started in the South. And mothers doing what? Decorating the graves of the Confederate dead. They were the ladies of the South is the title that they went by. Later on, this developed, and following the Civil War, General John Logan, it's long past, but in 1868 on May 5th, he proclaimed Memorial Day, and he proclaimed it for May 30th. And then following Congress, and you gotta love Congress, they named it the last Monday of May so that they would be assured of a three-day holiday. So they changed it from May 30th to the last Monday so that, well, you gotta love our senators, don't you? Yeah, they're right on top of it. So. And what's interesting about it is that it started with at Arlington National Cemetery with the graves of both the Northern Army and the Southern Army being decorated. And as we think of that, the South, in fact, there's still states in the South that refused to join Memorial Day. And almost all the states in the Union have come to that effect. It was, in fact, I wrote down here, Texas, they celebrate theirs on January 19th. They are a Confederate state. Alabama, April 26th. And Florida, Georgia, and Mississippi, May 10th. And in South Carolina, it's June 3rd. And just a little rebellion there, okay. But nonetheless, they all remember their dead. Sad to say that Memorial Day has really lost a lot of its meaning since that time. And as we think of, reading the secular history on Memorial Day, towns don't have many parades anymore. That used to be a very big deal. Many cemeteries are just totally neglected on Memorial Day across the country. And in fact, proper flag etiquette is totally forgotten in many of our circles. And as we stop and we think of, in fact, this weekend, it was kind of sad. I try to stay up with some of the news, and I near Los Angeles this weekend, a wall to commemorate the Vietnam veterans was totally desecrated, painted over and defaced, and they don't know who did it, but it just happened in the last few days. In Alabama, we all know that little flags that are stuck into graves, they were all taken out, and they just found a pile of broken sticks and the flags were gone. And the town is a little bit upset, and they expect that they'll have a lot more flags will be brought tomorrow. But imagine that. In Seattle, a Vietnam veteran planted a purple heart well, I don't know what kind of flowers, but there's purple flowers, right? And he made a purple heart to remember the wounded from the Vietnam War. And somebody came and tore that up. And it's just stopping you to think of this is worse than neglect that is taking place in our country. And I think our attitude, and I tried to express it in finding this little picture right here, there's really only two words that really make sense for our veterans and for those who have fallen, and that is thank you. Thank you. And I've entitled this message today, Remembering the Price That Is Paid. And I recall the song that, a little chorus, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you. Thank you. And as we stop and we think of the sacrifice that was made and the price that was paid, we've all seen the slogans that freedom is not free. Somebody paid the price. And I would suggest to you that our natural state as human beings is slavery. We were born in trespasses and sins. We were born slaves to sin. We have within us a propensity to run from God. And it's only through the provision of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, that we can be free. And it took a tremendous sacrifice to do that. And as we stop and we think of these sacrifices, in fact, I wasn't going to take a look back at Judges chapter 5, but I'll refer you to Judges chapter 5. This morning in Sunday school, we looked at Judges 4 and just saw a battle story of Israel who won the battle. But after the battle, they sang praises to God, thanking him for the battle, but in so doing, what they did was they remembered prior battles. And they remembered the victory that the Lord had given them all the way back to Egypt. And they thanked the Lord for those prior victories. And as we stop and we think of the freedom that we have, freedom is not our natural state. Freedom must be fought for, and it must be diligently protected. And if we don't do that, we're going to lose our freedom. And I think any half-thinking American would agree that our freedoms in this country are, I hate to say fast, I'll just moderate that and say slipping away. But the rate of increase of slipping away is increasing. As our freedoms get diluted, and they get diluted. And I don't think it's any mistake that in order to steal freedoms from any people in the world, it's very important that their history be erased. It's very important that those who have gone before and fight and fought for what we have, that they're forgotten. They're forgotten. And folks, it's very easy for us as sinners to live for today. What's in it for me today? Who cares? Who cares? And it's just kind of interesting. I can remember visiting the home of Thomas Jefferson and visiting my son once, and in Virginia. I think that's Thomas Jefferson. I forget the name of the place. But and here, this history of our country and the philosophy that went in it. And here's a mother and a father. They bring their three children. They're of junior high age and younger. And they're so excited to have their children go through this museum and learn something of the history of this country. And every one of them had headphones and were playing Game Boys or whatever they had. and didn't pay attention to one thing. And it was a little bit embarrassing to the parents, you could tell. But the kids didn't care. What's in it for us? And folks, we need to take the time to remember, what has happened. And I don't mean to, make a newscast or anything like that. It's what's happened in Seattle and Alabama and near Los Angeles. But those stories were kind of sad. Would you agree? That people could deliberately desecrate the graves, and not just the graves, but the memories of what our military was willing to fight and die for. And as we stop and we think of causes, if you have a cause and it's worth fighting for, it's worth dying for. And if it's not worth dying for, it's not worth fighting for. And as we stop and we think of Jesus Christ and the passage that we read this morning in John, where Jesus says, the truth will make you free. And as we stop and we think of this, and before we get real technical into what's a memorial, I can help myself. There's nouns and there's adjectives. And as we think of a noun, a memorial, a person, an event, something that we have as a memorial, as an adjective, something that describes, we may have a service. Tomorrow morning, there's going to be memorial services. You know, the problem with those services is that some of those services are at 8 in the morning. And who is going to get up at 8 in the morning to remember somebody? Not this generation. It's a holiday. We have a 3-day holiday. And this holiday, and I hope you have a nice barbecue and you have hot dogs and bratwurst and whatever you like to cook. That's all fine and dandy. But remember, the men, the citizens who were willing to die to give us the freedom to have a barbecue. And thank God for this day that there were those who were willing to sacrifice for the freedom of others. And as we think of that, this is a picture of Deborah and Barak in Judges chapter 5 singing praises to the Lord. In John 8, we read this morning, it says, the truth will make you free. And as you think of that, let's just look at that particular passage again, John chapter 8. And in John chapter 8, we read this. And in verse 31, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him. Now, prior to verse 31, Jesus is addressing a big crowd, or a lot bigger crowd, and that crowd included people who did not believe on him. And the words that he had for them is this. He said in verse 24, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Now this statement was made to the whole crowd. And as the statement goes on, and Jesus makes his point, verse 30 says, and as he spake, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those who believe on him, if you continue in my word. And as we think of believers, and as we think of what we would say true Christians, those who have been born again, the instruction here is this, is that because you have a sin nature, and he's gonna make reference to that right in this passage, because that is true, then there is something that is important to you, and that's this, that you continue in my word. Then are ye my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And as we stop and we think, and I try to make a little picture here, because we like pictures, don't we? All right. We abide in his word. And what does it mean to abide? It means to trust. And before you can trust in something, you need to know that something exists. You need to know something about that person or thing that you're trusting in. It's interesting that oftentimes Christians are accused of having a blind faith. Oh, that's just faith. What gives faith value is the object of our faith. And I would suggest to you this, that there is nothing blind about Jesus Christ. He is God's Son who came to earth to pay the penalty for sin. He died on a cross paying for sin. He was buried and he rose again. And because the penalty was paid on the cross, this Savior, Jesus Christ, who has been raised from the dead, who is seated in heaven next to his Father, makes it possible for God the Father to freely justify us. There is nothing abstract about it. This is the truth. And how do we know it's the truth? Because it's recorded for us in God's word. And I would say this. If you reject God's word and you fall into a trap and are influenced into thinking that God's word is not his truth, that it's really not God's word, it's just a collection of a bunch of good ideas and some crazy ideas, and you can pick and choose what you want. But if you reject this is the ultimate truth, then I don't know what to say to you except God help you. Because you're in serious trouble. God left us his word. And God knows very well that we are need to be set free. And what we see is this, is that it's the truth that sets us free. Without truth, there is no freedom. Remember that at the polling places. Remember that when you're choosing candidates to vote for. And I would say this, if there's a candidate who denies the existence of God, is a self-proclaimed atheist, and then they promise freedom. Atheism, freedom, they don't mix. They don't mix. Jesus said, it's the truth that will set you free. And isn't it good news that we can have the truth today? As we stop and we think of what is it that we're free from? And Jesus goes on in this particular passage and he says this. Now, these are believers that Jesus is talking to. And these believers answered him and said, we be Abraham's seed and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, you shall be made free? And it's interesting that language means something, doesn't it? Jesus talked in the future tense, you will be free, suggesting that you're not free now. And these people say, how can that be? We've never been slaves to any man. And which was kind of interesting because there was Roman soldiers all over the place at this time. But that isn't what Jesus is talking about. Look at verse 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I might just say that when Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. So in this passage, he said the truth will make you free. And in this passage, he said the Son would make you free. Jesus Christ is truth. He is the truth. And without him, there is no freedom. And as we stop and we think of what he says in verse 37, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. And who is their father? Their father is Satan. So I put together a little picture here, and we're condemnation. And the law was given. And the Apostle Paul tells us that by the law, I know that I'm a sinner. Do you know you're a sinner? Well, let's define sin. And here's the thing. If you have no definition of sin, or if you believe that sin is just a relative thing, it's pretty difficult to say, I'm a sinner. But you see, God gave his law to let us know specifically that we are sinners. It's kind of interesting that some of us are familiar with the law. And I can remember watching a show years ago. I'd like to get a clip of it. And the show was, well, how can a guy go to heaven? And somebody said, well, I think you got to keep the law. And they looked at each other, and one of them said, well, what is the law? So they said, well, there's something in there about not murdering. And I think there's something about adultery in there. And I think maybe stealing. And after that, they just made stuff up. And they came up with 13. And they thought they were doing pretty good. They had no idea what they were talking about. And I thought, what a typical, realistic view of most Americans. The purpose of the law was not to save. The purpose was the law is to show us that we come short of the glory of God and that we are sinners. And the law requires a payment for sin. And what happened is this, is that Jesus Christ came and he paid the penalty that the law requires. And he took upon himself and paid the price. And as we stop and we think of the price that Jesus Christ paid, and as we think of remembering the price that is paid, I hope that most of us not only remembered the soldiers that died, but remembers that Jesus Christ came to fight a battle for us so that we could be free. Freedom is not free. Somebody is sacrificing so that we can be free. And as we think of the history of our country, and I know that it's kind of built in us, isn't it, parents and grandparents, that we want our children to be better off than we are. And we want our grandchildren to have more than we have. And as we think of my grandparents growing up in the Depression and my folks born, well, my dad was born in 1930, and, grew up in tough times in America. But then after World War II and in the 50s, things started picking up. Anybody remember those days? In the 60s, things started picking up. And the attitude was, I want my children to have more than we had. We had to scrape. We had to live on rations. We had to budget. We couldn't be wasteful. We don't want our kids to go through that. So what's the alternative to that? Teach them to be wasteful? Apparently. Okay, you can fill that in. Teach them not to budget. Teach them just to consume. And what's happening? What's happening is that we now have a generation that expects. And if they don't get what they want, they're going to riot. They're going to riot. There's a college in Ohio. Students just had a riot, and here's what they rioted for. No midterm exams, guaranteed lowest grade a C. And the reason they wanted it is because they want to protest cops. And they don't have time to protest and study for their exams at the same time, so they want release time to protest. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it, George? Okay. This is terrible. And there were thousands of students that were picketing the administration of this college. And the administration is considering making accommodations for our citizens who want to protest rather than study. Well, I'll tell you what. I never like to study that much. I think I'd rather walk on the sidewalks on a nice sunny day than study. No exams. Are we crazy, folks? I don't know. What's happening? But we're free. People don't realize that to be given an inheritance takes sacrifice. My grandparents sacrificed. My parents sacrificed. I sacrifice for my kids. And we have to teach them to say thank you. Folks, God, our Creator, wants us to have a good life. He wants us to have a future. He wants us to be free. But there's a price that needed to be paid for that to happen. And as sinners, the wages of sin is death. And what Jesus Christ did is he came and he entered a battle zone. If I can use the analogy, he entered a sin-cursed earth and he stuck out like a sore thumb. Jesus Christ didn't fit in. He came to this world and he says, the world hated me, but I want you to be free. So he was willing to do and to pay the price to make the sacrifice, whatever was necessary to set people free. And Jesus Christ went to the cross and he paid the debt of sin and he died. And he died. And as we think of remembering the death of Jesus Christ, I know we have Easter, but here's what God did. As he said, I want you to, and we're not having our communion service this morning, but did you know that the communion service is a memorial to the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made so that we could be free? And that's what we should remember. And we should remember that every day. And as we stop and we think of Jesus Christ, his death and his resurrection, it frees us from condemnation. Wow, we can sit here as free people and be thankful. And as we stop and we think of what does it free us to and what is this freedom good for, it frees us. to have a new life. It frees us through the new birth to live a life that can bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ, the one who died for you, the one who died for me. And as we think of our country, and I made those opening comments to try to impress upon us that our natural state is to do what? To forget. To forget the sacrifice that was made in our behalf by those who were willing to die for a cause. Imagine loving this country so much that you're willing to die for this country. Now, I'm not saying that every soldier in Vietnam who was drafted looked forward to dying. I would guess that, I missed the draft that year. They went to the lottery. I was number 152, and they took 90. Some of you don't know what that is. They put 365 birth dates in a barrel and pulled them out, and if your birthday was drawn, you were drafted. They took the first 90. I didn't make it. So I stayed home. But getting shot didn't really excite me, the idea. And I had friends that never came back. And I can remember the families. And some of you can too. They never came back. And yet as we think of Vietnam is more my generation, the war. I'm a little bit young for it, but some of you are not. People didn't remember, did they? People disrespected those soldiers. And every one of these examples in Alabama, Los Angeles, and Seattle, and there's others, were all against the Vietnam veterans. I don't know if that's a coincidence or what. But we tend to forget, don't we? And when we forget the sacrifice, then what happens is this, is that that forgetfulness turns into lack of respect. The Bible has a word for lack of respect, and it's despise. And it's despise. And I would say this, that in our country, when it comes to Jesus Christ, and the sacrifice that he made on the cross, not only has it been forgotten, but what follows? It's been disrespected. And he is despised. And he actually predicted that he would be surprised. I put a little picture here that when we were born naturally, we're spiritually dead. We have a sin nature that is a slave to Satan's system. You know, it's interesting, people like to say, well, I'm free. Well, how so? Well, I'm free because nobody tells me what to do. Oh, really? I hear young people, they can't even get dressed in the morning without calling their friends to see what they're wearing today. So I say, who did I call this morning? Because they're really free, aren't they? Nobody tells them what to do. And we're slaves to ourselves. Jesus said this, whoever you obey, that's what you're a slave to. And we're all somebody's slave here, whether you like it or not. And as we stop and we think of being a slave, the question is this, to who is your master? Who are you a slave to? The Apostle Paul says, I want to be a slave to Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ sets me free. And so as we stop and we think of being born dead to God, and it's interesting in John, those people thought, well, wait, we were born in the right family. So doesn't that make us all okay? Listen, you might be here and you might have been born into a very nice family. In fact, I know some of you have been. But you can't say, I was born in Abraham's family. And Jesus said, oh yeah, you're still a slave. Because it's Jesus Christ that can make you free, not the family that you were born into. And as we stop and we think of being born spiritually dead, when we are born again, while we still have this sin nature, we become a new creation in Christ. And Christ sets us free from being a slave to the world system. We can now serve God, and our new creation is dead to the world and it's alive to God. And that's a standing, a family standing that we have in Christ. Unfortunately, we still have a sin nature. And as we stop and we think of that sin nature is still connected to this. And Christian, this is why Jesus said to those who believe, continue in my word. It's the truth of the word that will make us free and help us live a life that brings honor and glory to God instead of being self-serving. We're slaves to ourselves by nature. You knew that, didn't you? I can remember hearing someone argue when Jesus says, unless you become as a child. Well, that means be humble. People, I raised 8 kids. I don't know what a humble kid is. Do you? Most kids, if not all kids I know, and I don't mean to offend anyone, they're so stuck on themselves. They have so much self-esteem. They are so self-centered. The closest thing they could get to humility is maybe in a spelling bee. I don't know. Is anybody with me on that one? Does anybody here know what I'm talking about? I mean, you got to love the kids. I love my kids. They're the gift that just keep taking. That's a joke. But when they get about 40 and 50, they start to come around a little bit. So here we have no condemnation. And here is a picture of that old nature right here. And every child of God has two natures. One nature that's akin to the old, and a nature that now can set us free to serve God. And you know what? It takes saturation with the Word of God. And the Apostle Paul says this, listen, you live your Christian life the same way you got saved, by faith. You take those promises and you trust them each day that you live. And the truth can set us free. And as we stop and we think of what we're free from, we're free from religious law. And it's amazing. The whole book of Galatians is written to believers who just can't stand liberty. They want to enslave other people with their rules and regulations. And God has set us free from that. We're set free from the entanglements of the flesh. Listen, first thing that comes to mind with many of us are addictions. But you know, there's all kinds of entanglements and enslavements that we have in this world. It's the truth of the Word of God that can set us free. We have a position in heaven. We're a citizen of heaven. And I'll tell you what, folks, that should be very encouraging. Now, I'm proud to be an American. I love this country. And I don't think it's a mistake that there's more people trying to get into this country than trying to get out. Did you ever notice that? And it's because this country has been blessed. And it's been blessed because there's been a generation or more in the past, sorry to say, who are thankful, who are willing to sacrifice for freedom. And because they have paid a price, we can sit here today and have the freedom to assemble. It's in the First Amendment, folks. the freedom to assemble without fear. Good news, isn't it? You know something? Somebody died so that could take place. Somebody died. Are you thankful? And as we stop and we think of our future in heaven, and we stop and we think that I'm not a citizen. Well, I'm a citizen of the United States here on earth. I'm also a citizen in heaven. And I have a future. And my future is going to be better. I've been blessed. And you know why I've been blessed? Because there's somebody who was willing to make a sacrifice for me. When John the Baptist saw Jesus Christ coming, here's what he said. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ made the ultimate sacrifice. Are you thankful for that? Can you say, He died for me. He set me free. Not in an arrogant way, but Jesus Christ had you personally in mind when he died on the cross. And he said this, without my death, you will be forever enslaved and trapped in sin. But I'm here to set you free. And as we stop and we think of the disrespect, don't disrespect that, folks. Don't disrespect that. You thank Jesus Christ. You trust him for your liberty. Let's pause for prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he was willing to come to earth and make the ultimate sacrifice so that we could be free, so that we could be given the gift of eternal life. And we pray as we just think this morning of the many people who think because they were born in a good family, who think because they have good friends, who think because they go to church, that God will smile and give them eternal life. We pray that those people would think again and they would understand that it took the death of Jesus Christ on the cross to forgive sins. It took a sacrifice for them. We pray that we would just come to appreciate who Jesus Christ is and what he did for us on the cross. We also want to thank you. As a citizen of this country, we want to be thankful for all those who are willing to put their lives on the line for the cause of liberty. We thank you for even back in the founding of this country, those who are willing to die so that we could have a document, our Constitution, that guarantees our freedoms. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together and sing one verse.